When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. Great to be with you here tonight. You can get aboard, as we say, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Following the storylines and threads and plots we normally do, tonight we've got Game 4 in the Stanley Cup Final, and this looked to be done before it started. Florida with 3 goals in the first period. Edmonton with seemingly no ability to get anything going. And then they had a nice intermission discussion, and now it's 3-3. Scoring 3 goals in the second period, and we are tied up at 3 apiece with a few minutes to go in period number 2. So very interesting developments there in Florida, where, if you haven't seen by now, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are in attendance. I don't really know the connection, other than it's a thing to do and be seen at. So congrats to them for their experience. The NBA Finals continuing as well. A shorter time between games. We'll get another game tomorrow. It will be game number 4. Game number 4. Where the Thunder need to win. The Oklahoma City Thunder definitely do need to get a win here. They are down 2-1, and that is not something that we thought would be the case coming into this series. At worst, maybe 2-1 Thunder, at worst, but Indiana got their victory, even though they only led for 0.3 seconds in Game 1, and then in Game 3, they earned their victory. There's nothing about Indiana at this point that seems fluky anymore. Even the fluky wins can't seem fluky. They've done them 4 times. And they've actually done it another time or two where they've been down 15 points and then come back. But when it's like 8 points in a minute and then need a game-winning shot from Halliburton at the buzzer, they've done that 4 different times. They sealed the series against the Bucks that way. They won in Game 2 against the Cavs that way. We remember how they beat the Knicks in Game 1 that way, and then how this final started in Game 1, where, again, they led for just 0.3 seconds in that game. So one of those times you could say, yeah, that was a fluke. We shouldn't have lost that game. But when they've now done it to every opponent, and still by definition, because it's been like the one time out of 900 different scenarios that it's happened, it's still, you can say it's a fluke. By each individual case, you can say it's improbable. But when it's become part of their DNA, maybe that's just what they do. I said the same thing with the Chiefs back last year. Like, yeah, they're getting away with it. They're getting lucky. Things are happening that shouldn't be and don't against other teams. But when they do it that consistently, maybe it is just part of what they do. Maybe they figured out a way to do the improbable. And so for the Pacers to win one game like that, I'm dismissing as a fluke because it's what they've done every series. But then I think more importantly, game three was sort of different. Game three was maybe more of an eye-opener than game number one. In game number one, they did an improbable thing. And yeah, they've done that every series. They did an improbable thing against the odds. Wow, crazy. In game three, they beat down the Thunder. In game three, they did everything they wanted to do. In game three, they put on the pressure. In game three, they made the turnovers. In game three, they made the big shots. Everything that you can point to and say, that is something that the Pacers do well. They did all of those things in game three last night. So while game one can be looked at as luck, but again, they do it all the time. So what, you know, at some point it is no longer. Game three, I think, needs to be more of an eye opener that Indiana is here to win a championship. Indiana, they're not here to be a fun storyline. They're not here to give you good moments. They're not here to give you, you know, like I said, improbable situations. They're not here for any of that. They're here to win a championship. And I think the thing that the Thunder need to be the most worried about was the way they lost last night, to me, sort of looked like how the Pacers eventually got past the Cavaliers, a team that had the best record in the East that the Pacers were able to get by, specifically some of those later games. They had a 9-point lead in game one, a 9-point victory. There was the improbability of game two. They lost game three. This is against the Cavs. But then game four, they won by 20. In game five, they won by 9. And in those games, they didn't just play well in their own right, but they seemed to really grind down Cleveland and really take them out of their element. What we knew about the Cleveland Cavaliers, the team we thought we knew, that we thought we saw, they were not that in games four and five. They were a team that got beat down, that got tired, that looked fatigued. They were a team that the Indiana Pacers essentially ran out of the gym. Their star, Donovan Mitchell, in game number five, played 38 minutes out of a 48-minute game. You know, that's more than two-thirds, fine. But he looked like he had just played 48 on back-to-back days. He looked a lot more fatigued than I thought he should have been at that point in time. The game before that, it's not like they played big minutes. They ended up resting some of their guys. He only played 20 minutes, and he was dealing with a little bit of an injury throughout. But he should have been in pretty good shape at this time of the year. I say that because it looked like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last night was experiencing the same sort of thing. Now, he was adamant last night, fatigue can't be an excuse, no matter how much the Pacers are trying to wear him down. He was quoted as saying, you got to suck it up. There's a maximum four games left in the season. It's what you worked the whole season for. It's what you worked all summer for. To me, the way I see it, you got to suck it up, get it done, and try to win. The mentality can be there. That's great. The mentality can be there. You can try to suck it up. There's some people that will say, like, pain is mental. If you don't think you're hurt, you're not hurt. They are wrong. When you are hurt, you are hurt. Now, there's little tricks, like if I pinch my finger and then hit myself in the leg, suddenly I'm worried about that leg instead of the finger. So there are little tricks that you can do with the brain. But if you're tired and worn out, you can't just mentally say, I'm not tired and worn out. You can mentally try to power through and suck it up. You can do that. But if you are physically exhausted, you can't just not be physically exhausted. You need oxygen, or you need to rest, or you need to find a way to not be so physically exhausted in the fourth quarter when the team has been getting you on purpose to this point to try to wear you down. Everything that the Pacers do, when they cover you for 90 feet, when they're right on you right away, when they're hounding you, when they're substituting guys, TJ, you get your 15 minutes. Shepard, you get your 18 minutes. Attack them. If you get fouled, or you follow them, that's fine. We've got other guys. We've got other guys we can use. And we're not playing our starters huge minutes because we've got a bench we can go to, and we're trying to keep everyone fresh as we're wearing them down. 42 minutes last night for SGA. They got outscored in the fourth quarter, 32-18. Fatigue is a big factor into what the Pacers try to get you to do. You know those football teams where they run the football and it's like, oh, geez, they're not getting much going. But by the fourth quarter, everybody else's legs get tired, and then that's when this guy seems to be at his best. That's what the Pacers are doing. One of the things they are doing. They're doing a lot. They are doing a lot. They're doing it all, and they're doing it all well. So for the Thunder to answer on Friday night, again, it will be on the road in Indiana, and it's going to be a big game. You cannot lose that game if you are the Thunder. You can absolutely not lose that game if you're the Thunder, because then you need to win four more, or three more, rather. And to win three in a row against the Pacers, they are proving that that is very difficult in the postseason. They are playing at a level that is right now the best in the NBA, and they've got a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals to show for it. Now, what's interesting about all of that is the odds makers still think that the Thunder will win. And I think a lot of us think that the Thunder will still find a way to pull this out. I saw somebody with a tweet today where it was like Bucks in 4, Bucks in 5, Bucks in 6, Bucks in 7, Cavs in 4, Cavs in 5, Cavs in 6, Cavs in 7, Knicks in 4, Knicks in 5, Knicks in 6, Knicks in 7, Thunder in 4, Thunder in 5, Thunder in 6. You are here. Like, the Pacers keep doing this, and then we keep saying, oh, okay, well, they did that, but now it's time for the other team to go ahead and get things taken care of. And again, these are just the odds makers. These are not fortune tellers. These are not script writers. But the odds right now have the Thunder as -220 favorites. The current line gives the Thunder still a 69% nice likelihood of winning the series. Would you say after last night that the Thunder have a 2-3 chance to win the series? I think a lot of people would. In terms of the exact outcome lines, here's what Vegas thinks are the most likely scenarios. From least likely to most likely. They think the least likely scenario, after it's already 2-1. Okay, it's already 2-1, so now we're factoring that in. The least likely scenario at 10-1 odds is that the Pacers win the next two and win in five. They think that's the least likely scenario. Then it would be the Pacers winning in seven, okay? And then the Pacers winning in six gets a little more of an edge because maybe they win and then the Thunder and then the Pacers, you know, everybody wins at home the rest of the way. But I haven't said a Thunder win yet because all of those scenarios are not as likely, according to Vegas, as the Thunder winning in six and then the most likely scenario, the Thunder winning in seven. So I think if you're an Indiana Pacers fan, you look at this and you say, what do we have to do? And for the Pacers, I'll tell you right now, you just got to win the whole thing. You got to put up with the nonsense and you got to win the whole thing. And with my eyes trying to judge this, and this is what I said coming into the series, I said, I think the Thunder are going to win in five because they are the better basketball team. I think it's going to be interesting to watch the Pacers play at the level they do, but I just don't think the Thunder are going to play down to their level. I don't think the Thunder are going to fall into the trap. I think the Thunder do like what the Pacers do. Everything's a little better. I think they just all do it a little bit better. That's proven to be stupid. And yet here I am, and right, I am on that chart. You are here. Thunder in six. Thunder in seven. My prediction right now, if I had $1 million on the line, is I would still think in my heart of hearts, I still think the Thunder are going to win this series because they are the better team. At least they have better talent. Because if you're going to differentiate between which squad is more talent and which squad is the better team, I don't know that there's a group of guys that have figured out how to play as a team as well as the Indiana Pacers. And so it's a little contradictory, or you have to blur the lines a little bit because you've seen the Thunder win 68 games. You've seen them in two of the three series not have two out of a tie. But then even in the series that went seven, it was this exact scenario. So you can say, oh, they've gone with the 1-1 split, and then they lost game three, and they were still able to win it out. Look, these are not three series games. These are not five series games. These are seven series games, so you get a little bit of wiggle room. You can blow a game here, you can get beaten a game here, but you've got time to make adjustments and to come out, and the better team should win the series. And again, what I said last night was, if these teams played, every team in the league, all 28 other teams in the league in a seven-game series, even if the Pacers won them all and the Thunder won them all, I think the Thunder would look better doing it. I think they'd do it by bigger margins, and I think they'd do it in shorter series. But that's all irrelevant, because once the Pacers are the team on the other side of the court, they have found a way to grind you down, get you fatigued, and really make you second-guess everything you've done up to that point. You know, they didn't have to see the Celtics, but you could assume the same thing would have happened there. The Cavs, I was touting, were going to beat Boston. That never happened because Indiana took care of them. And then we saw what they did to the Knicks. And now they're doing it to, going in, the best team in the whole NBA. We're talking about, if they win the finals, 68 wins, got the MVP, where do they rank historically? Like, is this a top 10 team of all time? What do they rank there? But you put them up against the Pacers, who have a plan, who have a strategy, and stick to that plan each and every game, and they wear you down and they wear you out. And now the Thunder are in a precarious position where they have to try to figure out a way to do what no team has done yet up to this point, and that's outpacer the Pacers, which I am not sure at this point is possible. Game four tomorrow night should be interesting. Meanwhile, at the end of period number two, it is 3 goals for Florida in the first, 3 goals for Edmonton in the second, and we are tied at 3 going into the third. The first 2 games in Edmonton both went to overtime, the second double overtime, and then the Panthers had such a big win in game 3, we thought, oh, okay, maybe this is how the rest of the series is going to go. And then when they put up 3 in the first, you're like, well, that's curtains. And then now here are the Oilers fighting back, so it should be a good 20 minutes there in Sunrise. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. Lots more to get to tonight. A Bartometer is going to look at the biggest revenge games of the 2025 NFL season. We'll get up to that in about 40 minutes. Lots to come. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. That is Tyrese Halliburton. a member of the Indiana Pacers, as you're all well aware by now. 13 players anonymously said he was the most overrated in the league, and that was enough to unleash the monster that he has become to an entire league in these NBA playoffs and now the NBA finals. Game three, by far his best performance of the finals, just 14 points in game one, 17 points in game two, and then 22 points in game three with timely three-point shooting. Had four of those, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, a couple of steals, as well as the Pacers last night get the 116-107 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The bench, very good. 49 points from the bench. Obi Toppin with 8. TJ McConnell with 10. And Benedict Mathurin had 27, of course, was a big star of the game last night. Ben Shepherd adding 4 of his own. TJ McConnell gets an extra mention here because it wasn't just the points that he had. It was the 5 steals that were big. 5 assists as well, but 5 steals, including being just an attack dog, really the only way to put it, on some of these inbound passes. It's really been remarkable. Watching the Pacers play against these teams, they have a hard time, like, they just have a hard time doing the simplest things, or at least what you think is simple. They have a hard time inbounding the basketball. The defense is unrelenting. They are unrelenting. They don't give you, like, oh, okay, cross the timeline, and then, you know, we'll get into your, you get into your half court, and we'll run a defense. No, they want that ball as soon as it comes back in the court. And they do that for the better part of 48 minutes. They just really come after you and blitz you. And like I said earlier, those running backs that ground and pound, and then the fourth quarter they rip off that 60-yarder, that's kind of the method that the Pacers are taking. Thought that the gap would be a little larger between, you know, them doing that against the Knicks or even the Cavs. This is the Thunder we are talking about. This is the Thunder that only lost to one Eastern Conference team all season, and that was Cleveland. Parentheses, regular season. Remember, they did lose to the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Cup, and parentheses. One of the interesting things about a 7-game series, and it could be for hockey, it could be for baseball, it could be for basketball, I think more so in basketball than any other sport, are the adjustments, are the strategies. And not just the way you play, but the rotations and the starting lineup. And Mark Daigneault of the Thunder did something in this series which we don't see a lot of. He had been starting Isaiah Hartenstein throughout the postseason, and then before game one, like right before game one, there was a decision to start Cason Wallace instead. Wallace, a second-year player, he's only 21, out of Kentucky, drafted a couple seasons ago, and has really been a suitable sixth man for them. He's been pretty good, a 48% shooter, about 9 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, maybe 3 assists a game. He's played throughout the season 27 minutes a game, so you could look at that and say, hey, those are starter minutes. But where Daigneault may have been thinking was, all right, I want to play quicker because the Pacers play quicker, so I'm going to put him into the starting lineup so that we don't have to, you know, wait until we have to make a substitution before we counter the way that they are playing. It takes Hartenstein out. It takes away the ability for Halliburton and these guys to maybe attack him to try to make Hartenstein a defensive liability, but there's also a lot of good things Hartenstein does on the offensive side of the floor, which is a reason they paid him a bunch of money to get him over from New York, and a reason he is in the starting lineup of a, at least, Western Conference Finals team. They have lost 2 of the 3 games. And I don't blame Cason Wallace. His plus-minus might be down, but it's not so much about the fact that it's not Hartenstein and it's not Wallace. It's some about that, but more so what it's about, because they're playing roughly the same minutes, at least he is. Hartenstein's minutes down a little bit. But the bigger thing is, you had something that was working, you had a clear rhythm, and then you decided to change that preemptively. Did you need to do that? If it worked, you think, wow, they get to this NBA Finals, they're humming along, and they don't want to give the Pacers an edge anywhere. So they scouted where might the Pacers have an edge, take it away from them prior to it even being a thing. But it's not working. This is totally a results-based decision in how it's going to be judged, fairly or unfairly. When you make a move like this in the starting lineup, you're going to be judged on if it worked. But the biggest way you're going to be judged on if it worked isn't combing through box scores or breaking down play-by-play. It's going to be, did you win or did you lose? And so they made this decision, and now they are down 2-1. I know a lot of Thunder fans are calling for Hartenstein to get back into the lineup. They want to see him back there again, just because it's back to the status quo, a status quo that was working. Okay? A status quo that swept the Grizzlies, that beat the Timberwolves in five, that took it to the limit and won against the runner-up for MVP and those Denver Nuggets. It was working. Not so much against the Indiana Pacers up to this point. If you're Mark Daigneault, there's a lot at play here too, because then do you make the change again and admit, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or do you stay steadfast in your convictions and say, look, we got beaten game three, we won game two handily, game one, I mean, what are you going to do about that? That was a legendary win by them. You know, that can't be how we determine. Sometimes results shouldn't determine the process, but wins are at a premium here. We only do get seven of these games, and the Pacers need two more wins to beat you and end your season as a runner-up in the NBA. So it will be interesting to see if that is a move or if other moves do happen as part of this. You saw it with the Knicks series where they started tinkering with their bench. They started going a little bit deeper. They started putting in more guys. I thought one thing that the Pacers could do is actually shorten their bench to give their starters bigger minutes. But that was if the Thunder would be up at this point. If you're the Pacers, maybe you don't make any changes and don't disrupt things, because that's what happened with the Thunder. They disrupted and it did not work. We could perhaps still see a change if we see this performance from Benedict Mathurin and say, oh, you know what? It would be nice if he was in a little bit more with 27 points in the 22 minutes that he had. He had 14 points in 22 minutes in game two, and he had 5 points in just 16 minutes in game one. I'm not sure if this was a, like, you know, Jason Terry off the bench in game six kind of performance, or if this is a, oh my God, we need this guy to play as many minutes as possible. So it will be interesting, and it always is, to see the chess match between the two coaches, and we'll see if there are any changes heading in to game four. What is different about this is that there were changes heading into game one, which you do not see a lot. Also, a question that's been going around, would this be the most surprising title win ever? It's not quite Leicester City of the Premier League a few years ago with 500-1 odds to win that thing, but in terms of American sports, it very well could be. Preseason odds for champions, the biggest ones in the last 15, 25 years. The Pistons in 04 were plus 1,500. 15-1 chances to win a title. Okay. The Nuggets of a couple years ago, 1,800. The Raptors of a couple years ago, 18-1 odds. The Mavs, Rick Carlisle's Mavs, were 20-1. The 2015 Warriors were actually 28-1. This Pacers team was 66-1. The odds to win the title were about 66-1. That is not something that you typically would bet on. For reference, in baseball, who's about 66-1 to win the World Series right now? That would be the St. Louis Cardinals are 60-1 and the Brewers are 75-1. Would you bet on either of those teams to win the World Series? If you're a fan of one of those teams and or you don't value money, you might. That's the kind of odds that the Pacers felt and had at the beginning of the season. Even heading into the playoffs, they were a sizable underdog. So, yes, it would be pretty remarkable and very unlikely. A couple of other stats in the NBA Finals by quarter. First quarter, the Thunder, plus 23-point advantage through three games. Second quarter, plus 3-point Thunder advantage through three games. Third quarter, Thunder are winning those two, plus 7-point advantage through three games. And in the fourth quarter, the Pacers have outscored the Thunder by 27 points. So clearly there is a pattern. Clearly there is a trend. And that goes back to what I was saying about you want to be a running back that wears them down in the fourth quarter. And this I had to double check, but it is absolutely the case. Tyrese Haliburton has yet to attempt a free throw in the finals. Not that he gets to the line a bunch. The most he's been to the line in any playoff game this year has been six times, but not even on an and-one. A lot of his shots do come from a little bit out, and nothing in the bonus or anything. So some interesting stats there as well. Game four again tomorrow night. Game four in the Stanley Cup underway, and we'll get an update here in just a second. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's grab that update. It's Marco Belletti.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest moments in the games.
Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
The biggest voices in sports.
He crowned her ass, but they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
The heartbreak.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God! It's picked off at the goal line. It's picked off by Gus Butler. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word.
The celebrations.
Driving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Look at Brady. One more ring.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Damn straight, disembodied voice. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Thursday, June 12th, 2025. And we'll start with the Pacers rallying to down the Thunder in Game 3. The Pacers take a series lead in Game 3 over to Oklahoma City Thunder. Your final 116-107. Pacers entered the fourth quarter trailing by 5 points. They didn't want to be outscoring the Thunder 32-18 in that fourth. Benedict Mathurin, one of your heroes off of the bench, he scored a game-high 27 points. Haliburton just short of a triple-double, 22 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds. Pacers, like I said, now lead 2-1 in a best-of-7. And OKC side, Jalen Williams, he had 26 points in the losing effort. It was probably one of the sloppiest games the Thunder have played all postseason. So let's hear from both Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Williams. Tyrese Haliburton responding to the analysts always picking the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Jalen Williams saying they're not going to panic.
The commentary is always going to be what it is. You know, most of the time, the talking heads on the major platforms, I couldn't care less, honestly. Like, what do they really know about basketball? I mean, at a time like this, I'm not really on social media as much. I try to stay off it as much as I can, but, you know, you see it, and, you know, ESPN might be on in my house, and there it is, and, you know, it is what it is. But I think just seeing where I can be better is the most important thing.
We've been in that exact same kind of predicament. This game three was a better game three than the ones we've had, so we'll take that and run with it. But yeah, I mean, it's very pivotal. Obviously, you know, you don't like being down in a series, but we have been here before, so we'll use that experience and work to get better from it.
It's going to be very interesting to see how the Thunder respond. When you are down 2-1 on the road, that is your back against the wall time. That is when you got to throw everything at this. You cannot go down 3-1. If you do, I mean, you go back home, okay, you win, yeah. But you cannot go down 3-1. The Pacers definitely would have a leg up. So expect a very, not desperate, but close Thunder team on Friday night. As far as Haliburton, you know, calling out the talking heads, of course, one of those talking heads responded in Stephen A. Smith. And I do want to get into why that is the number one issue the NBA might be facing in terms of its coverage. The league needs to have TV partners that put the league above themselves. And we may enjoy watching it, some of it, but the TV partners feel like they're bigger than the league. And that needs to change for this league to thrive. So we'll get into that a little bit more later tonight.
And we won't have to wait too long to figure out what's going on, because the Pacers will host the Thunder in Game 4 in Indy tomorrow night. Let's go to New York. They had the plan in mind, and that was to fire their head coach and Tom Thibodeau. After that, I don't think there was a plan in sight other than ask everyone who has a head coach, hey, how committed are you to said guy? This is courtesy of the Roommates podcast, Jalen Brunson. He spoke about Tibbs being fired and he had some kind words to say, I guess.
But yeah, this is my first firing. I've known him my entire life, but I remember like having conversations and moments with him when I was in eighth grade when we moved to Chicago. And just to see like where we are now, like helping become two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA, the things he's done for me, like obviously individually, I'm so grateful for. Just because like he had that confidence in me that like I knew I had, but like it's great to see someone like push you to be better. Like, obviously, I have my dad, and he believes me more than anyone. But like to have Tibbs and to do what he did for my career, like, I'm just so grateful and thankful for.
I haven't thought about this from a Knicks player perspective. It's one thing to have us comment about, hey, the Knicks are, they're leaving no stone unturned. Like, how great of them, you know, the people that are defending them calling essentially every coach to say, hey, you want to leave your wife for me? But what are the players thinking? The players, maybe some of them wanted to move on from Thibodeau. Maybe some didn't. But they can't be enamored with the fact that there is very little semblance of a plan. And the longer it goes on, do you end up hiring a guy just because, okay, this is getting ridiculous, we need to hire a guy? Or are you going to hire a guy that it really is the right case, right time? You can only take so many no's before you wonder if you got the right guy to begin with. So I wonder what those guys are thinking, not of the firing of Thibodeau, but more so the process of replacing Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they do at this point, but it's them versus them, because everybody else has got their head coach and there are no other vacancies, you know, unless there's a surprise firing tomorrow. Who knows? And maybe the Knicks will jump on that guy. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the NFL. I actually sent you this earlier in the day. It's a very interesting story. The Bengals' 17th overall pick, so that's obviously their first rounder. They selected Shamar Stewart. And Turns out he's left minicamp. Now, he's the only rookie, first-round rookie, rather, that remains unsigned. There is a contract dispute. It's basically the amount of guaranteed money that he's trying to secure for himself versus what the Bengals are willing to pay. I thought these contracts were pretty standard, but he's left minicamp. So here's Zach Taylor, his, I guess, for now head coach on Shamar Stewart not showing up.
I think for all the rookies, you'd like them to be on the field, but certainly there's things that happen over the course of an NFL career, and this is one of them right now. So he's been in the meetings. He's been positive in that way. He's been learning. He's been a good learner. And we look forward to getting back on the field quickly.
I don't know that he can be thrilled with what his front office is up to, Zach Taylor. Look, the Bengals have a reputation for trying to nickel and dime every one of their players. But then they gave Joe Burrow a bunch of money. And then they gave his receivers a bunch of money after Joe Burrow said give them a bunch of money. And you thought, could it be? Could they have changed? And then they're right back to trying to re-change the wording in these rookie contracts where they want to have the ability to void some guarantees in case there's an injury or something happens. And it's just never happened before, and Shamar Stewart doesn't want to be the guinea pig for it. So he says, I don't need to deal with this. I'm out. You're already dealing with Trey Hendrickson. You draft a guy to not replace, but essentially bolster that side of the ball in that position. And now you're screwing him around as well. At the end of the day, will these all get resolved? With 31 other teams, I'd probably say, yeah. But the Bengals seem to like the fight. So we'll see how these things materialize. But there's no reason that this needed to happen in the way that it did with Shamar Stewart.
You know what team we haven't talked a lot about, which is a real shame considering they're going to win the division? That's the Los Angeles Chargers. The reason why they're going to win the division, because the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs, so that'll help out. The Broncos will get one of those wild cards. And the aforementioned Bengals, I think, will figure it out, get another wild card. But speaking of the Chargers specifically, they get a reunion with outside linebacker Khalil Mack. Now, why is this significant? Well, because we know who Khalil Mack is, and also he was mulling retirement. He also looked around at a couple of options across the league and see, hey, you know, where could I go? But ultimately, he decided the Chargers was the best fit, despite the money. I mean, other than the money. So the Chargers and Khalil Mack will reunite for another one-year deal. Here he is talking about going back to L.A.
It's just that feeling, you know, you're chasing that feeling of wanting to win, important games deep in the season, and so being that I haven't reached that point yet, I couldn't give up on that dream and that goal for myself and for this franchise.
I still think the Chargers are not quite in that first tier. I think they're working their way up to that. So if you're on this team this year, that doesn't really mean you're going to be a part of the team that eventually can win a Super Bowl. They could surprise. They're continuing to tinker with their lineup, but they need a better postseason performance too out of Justin Herbert. A lot of interceptions last year was not good. They're going to need that. Because I agree, they're going to make the postseason, but they got to compete with the big dogs, and to have your big dog, your quarterback, Justin Herbert, turn into a turnover machine, that's not good on that side of the football. So big things expected for the Chargers here with this Harbaugh era. Could this year be a year of bigger things? We'll know in a few months.
All right, last one here. Let's go to Buffalo Orchard Park. Everyone's favorite darling rookie last year because of the Macy's press conference that he had, Keon Coleman. We were waiting for him to blow up in fantasy circles. It didn't quite happen. Here he is saying he admitted as much. He was trash last year.
You want to know exactly what I see? When that trash, you got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. So if Jimbo break it, he up the sideline. Just different things like that. Call not everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
Well, I mean, my fantasy GM team would probably agree a little bit, but
me too. I picked and dropped him three times.
It's nice to It's nice to look at your own tape, maybe a little self-scout, and you can't have the coaches say anything worse than that when that's what you're saying about yourself. So that's a Bart Winkler strategy. I'm good at making fun of myself first so that when your words say it, it doesn't hurt me as much. Strategy doesn't really work. I'm a little baby anyway. Bartometer coming up. Biggest revenge games. Bills are on this list. 2025 season. Straight ahead on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.